Today I want to talk about rededicating ourselves to God, because it's not just once in our life coming. You know, sometimes we can come to Jesus and we can make a commitment to Him, but throughout our life we need to keep coming back to the promises and the commitments that we've made and rededicating ourselves afresh to God. So that's what I want to talk about today. That's where we're heading. And at the end of the message, we'll have communion together, and that will be like a symbol of our rededication to Him through the covenant that God has made available for us. Before we go any further, Cheryl, I'd like to just come and pray for God's blessing on His word to us this morning.
Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You that You just love speaking to us, and Lord, we want to hear Your voice today. And so we commit ourselves to You, Lord. We want to lean in and grow and just be challenged and like Roger said, recommit ourselves to You and that covenant that we've got with You. Lord, I just thank You for the words that You've and the word that You've prepared for Roger to bring to us, and Lord, just anoint him and let us be ready for some fire. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it is great to have so many visitors with us this morning. It's awesome to have you all here. Last weekend, Cheryl and I were in Wellington, and many of you will be aware of that. We actually went to the Arise Conference, which is a church conference down there. We've been to it once before. A few of the others from our church have been as well. And we just had a really inspiring time down there. It sounds like you guys had an inspiring time back here as well, with Marty speaking and Roger in the evening. I hear there was two awesome services here. But while we were away, we spent some time thinking and praying about the future of the church, obviously, and our 2021 vision that we've outlined. We've been talking about vision here over the last few weeks. And I was thinking, you know, where to from here? What next? And while we're at the conference and we were hearing great speakers and involved in the worship and so on, I just got this quite a clear thought, direction for us, that the strategic principles we need are all in God's word, actually, and specifically in the book of Joshua. So the next few weeks, we're going to spend a little bit of time of looking at some of them. We're not going to go right through the whole book and cover everything, but I think there's some principles there of strategy of how to start implementing vision. And we've all got our own personal vision for our family and our lives and our businesses or whatever, but also for us as a church, we've been recently outlining our vision. It's actually got very cold in here. Are you guys all right? Can we turn? You got anyone else a bit cool? Perhaps we could turn some heaters on again, if that's all right, Norris. Norris is a good man on the heaters and looking after us. Thank you for that. Dean's been doing a good job relating to the caretaker. It's actually a lot warm, eh? Are the fans on or are they turned off? Okay, all right, let's just stay warm. That's part of my vision. We're going to be warm in church in the winter and cool in the summer. Won't that be awesome? That's our 2021 vision. We're not there yet, but we're going to get there. But anyway, today we're going to look at Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 to 8. But before we turn there, just a little brief history. By now, the Israelites had crossed the Jordan River, and they were finally, after 40 years, they were finally on the edge of the Promised Land. They're only just in the Promised Land. They were actually perched right on the edge of it, and they were really in quite a vulnerable place right at that point. The Bible tells us there were 600,000 men, plus women and children as well. And if you do a little bit of maths, I think there could have been 2 to 3 million people And there they were camped on the edge of a land they had yet to conquer. And they had the flooded Jordan River on one side and the city of Jericho in front of them. And they had this big vision. God had given them this vision of a land of their own. But so far, all they had was a toehold. They were there, but they didn't actually have any of it to call home yet. So let's read Joshua chapter 5. Verses 2 to 8, and see what God directs them to do next. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haaloth. Now, this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died. Since then, they had not obeyed the Lord, for the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that he had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place. And these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. So effectively, we have all the men of Israel circumcised in one day, except perhaps for a couple of the older ones who were still alive. They all died off. This was a whole new generation. If you stop and think about it, it was not the most militarily sensible thing to do, was it? Effectively, in one day, Joshua had incapacitated his whole army, all his fighting men. In fact, they probably couldn't move, let alone fight an enemy for at least a week or two or maybe longer. That's what they did. And the enemies were just over there. They could see them, and they were very vulnerable. No doubt Joshua would have questioned God a little bit about the logic of what he had asked them to do, but he obeyed regardless. But what we need to understand is that for the Israelites, their covenant of relationship with God was the covenant of circumcision that God, in a covenant that God had made with Abraham, you know, hundreds of years earlier. This was their guarantee of relationship between them, and this was their part between them and God. Thankfully, we're under a different covenant today. So we can all relax. We're not going to get the flint knives out today. However, I think there's some principles here that as God's people we can possibly learn from. For over 40 years previous to this, God had miraculously looked after these people, hadn't he? Just incredibly. In the wilderness, every day they had the pillar of cloud over them. So when it was hot, they were in the shade. Every night, they had the pillar of fire beside them, which gave them some light, and it would have all probably kept them warm on those cold wilderness nights. So they had shade, and they had warmth, and they had light. And every morning, without fail, for the past 40 years, except on the Sabbath, what had happened? Yet the food, they just went out and gathered food off the ground that God miraculously provided every day for 40 years, apart from the Sabbath. And then the day before, they got double and they collected enough so they didn't have to do it on the Sabbath. So they just had to go out and pick up their food, the manna that God put there every morning for them. Their shoes and their clothes never wore out, the Bible tells us. For 40 years, they didn't have to worry about getting a new pair of shoes or new jacket or new coat or anything. Their clothes never wore out. They had their food. They had their everything, their provisions were just there every day. These were God's people. And of all the nations on earth, they were a people that were set apart, weren't they? That's what the Bible tells us. And that's why God cared for them the way that he did. Every step of the way, he looked after them. Even stopping the Jordan River when it was in flood. I mean, they probably could have got across it. You know, it might have lost a few on the way. Some of the little ones or the older ones might have got swept away. But they probably could have got across it. But God made it so that they could get across without even getting their feet wet. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't it be great, you know, if we could go around the farm without getting our feet wet at the moment? It would be so cool right now. Actually, I just want to make a tribute to all the dairy farmers. Some of them are not here, I see, probably still out there battling. It's just a really difficult time. Maybe at the end of the service we need to pray for the dairy farmers in this weather. Pray for the weather, maybe. We'll get some sunshine. But anyway, God looks after his people. And that's what he did with the Israelites. They didn't even get their feet wet. And the next thing, they were to start taking possession of the land that God had promised them, the land of Canaan. It's pretty cool, isn't it? There was one slight problem about the land, and that there were some people that already lived there. Just a slight problem. And one of the biggest, most well-fortified cities in the whole land, the city of Jericho, was right in front of them. And these guys, they had their own king, they had their own army, they had their own weapons, and some of them were giants. They were not just easy to reckon with. And these people weren't going to just hand over their city and their land to these foreigners who had just turned up, God's people. They were God's people, the Israelites, were going to have to physically take possession of what God had promised them, bit by bit, little by little. And this was going to mean for them they'd have to fight some battles, right? They weren't just going to stroll in there and, oh, here you are, you can have my place, and then they just move off somewhere else. It wasn't going to be like that. They knew that. The people that lived there didn't want to give up where they were living. So before they even started, God said to the Israelites, okay, now we've got to get serious about this. We've got to get serious about this. And the very first thing that God was saying to the Israelites, remember the covenant between us. Remember the covenant between me and you. A covenant is an agreement. It's a binding agreement in blood, and it couldn't be broken. That's the idea of a covenant. And what God was saying to the Israelites is, all this time, all through the 40 years in the wilderness, I've been looking after you, but I've overlooked things. I've overlooked your casualness. Up until now, I've let you get away with things. Joshua, it's time to get some flint knives. For them, for the Israelites, there was a literal cutting away of the flesh before they could start moving into the things that God had promised them. That was their part in the covenant. But for us, especially if we're going to see God's vision for our lives and for our church and for our community fulfilled, I believe what God's saying is that there's going to need to be some cutting away for us as well. Not physically and literally like it was for them, but in more subtle ways. I believe we're not going to be able to really move into the things that God's got for us if we're just going to cruise along and live the way we've always lived and done the things the way we've always done them, because we're coming into a new season. We're coming into a new time. Things like casualness towards the things of God. Now, sometimes we do get a bit casual, don't we, about our spiritual life. And I mean, lately we've had the challenge of doing this Bible reading every day. That's been a challenge for us, because some of us have got a bit casual about our Bible reading and our times with God and our commitment to serving and being here at church and being part of his family. Sometimes we get a bit casual about all that sort of thing. And I believe God's saying, come on, guys, it's time that casualness might have been okay up until now. But from now on, if you're going to fulfill what I've got for you, you're just going to have to start being a little bit more focused. Compromise. Sometimes we can compromise with our lifestyle. We've come from a place where, you know, there's been all sorts of stuff, worldly stuff. This might have been okay in the past, but God's saying, come on, compromise. We're not gonna move into the things that we've got, that I've got for you, if you're just going to be in a compromise situation. Sometimes it might be just hidden things like attitudes in our heart. And actually, to God, a lot of this stuff is just plain old sin. And we don't like using that word, do we? But what God was saying to these guys, you've neglected to do what you knew you had to do. You've neglected to circumcise your sons. And that was part of the arrangement, the agreement, the covenant, the binding covenant that we had of relationship between us. And you guys have got too casual. And that's got to change. If we're gonna begin to move into what God's got for us, we can't do things the way we've always done them. Going to the Arise conference was really interesting for us, because we have known John Cameron for quite a long time. He's the senior pastor there. He's the leader of that church. And we actually knew him in his early 20s. He came to our home. And we got to know him a little bit. And now to see what he and his wife Jillian and their church are doing for the kingdom of God is just actually, sometimes when you know people when they're younger, and then we can hold them there, can't we? We can hold people where they used to be. And I think we need to stop doing this. It's a real lesson to me to see what he's doing, because I still think of him as a 20-year-old when he was a little bit crazy and ridiculous and immature. And now I see him as a powerful leader for God. And I think, wow. You know, I had to move and shift in my thinking you know, when I see what they're doing. They've grown a church from 5 couples to 5,000 people in 14 years. It's not a bad, you know, and in a university city there in Wellington, they've got other churches in Christchurch and Dunedin and Hamilton and around New Zealand, I think Whangarei and one or two other places. But and he's got a goal. He's got a vision of growing, having a church of 50,000 people in Wellington. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, a place that really needs God, right at the heart of New Zealand where the government and everything is. We need God. We need godly people in all these places, and particularly in Wellington, just as much as in Raglan. But, you see, I realize that John is so disciplined, and he's so focused, and he's so single-minded. He's such a strong leader, and he's just going for it. I realize, well, actually, he might get there, and I hope he does. Let's watch this space. Let's pray for these guys, because they're really having an impact in the younger generation. And it was awesome to see that. But what God was saying to Joshua and the Israelites, if you really want this promised land, if you really want to see the vision fulfilled, you're going to have to be a lot more single-minded. If you're a lot more focused. Your casual compromising days need to be behind you. Joshua, get the flint knives. That's what God said to him. And if you remember, the summary of our 2021 vision was Jesus, people, and purpose. Remember that? Now, we had that awesome statement of the church that we see, that God, we believe God wants us to become in the next 5 years. And we sum that up. Jesus at the center, and it's all about people of every culture. He tangata, the people of this community, people with purpose. It's, you know, it's one thing to be saved and to flow along in the grace of God and be saved. It's a whole different ball game to start effectively living out our purpose. As soon as we start moving forward, and especially if there's some unity around the purpose and the vision, and we start to want to take what we believe God's calling us to do, doing what God's calling us to do, as soon as we start moving forward like that, the enemy starts to rise up and say, no, you don't. And one of the speakers actually at the conference was talking a little bit about this, and the devil hates to lose territory, and it's people that he hates to lose. It's not buildings and land so much and all that sort of stuff. It's not wealth. It's people that the devil hates to lose. And that's really what we're all about as a church, about God's blessing and God's love and drawing in people into his family. And so we're going to confront the enemy on this, because the enemy says, oh, no, you don't, as we start to move forward. Oh, yes, we will. We can't carry all the baggage of our past into our future and expect that we're just going to see the vision, the land of Canaan just unfold before them or before us. It's just not going to happen that way. I believe to see this vision fulfilled that we've laid out over the last few weeks, we're going to have to be bold enough to make some changes. You with me on this? I really think we are. You know, we're going to have to step up as leaders. Cheryl and I are going to have to step up as pastors, leaders through this church and on our teams. All of us, we can't just cruise along the way we've always done things and expect it just to happen without us. Because God wants to partner with us. That's the way he always works. God and his people accomplishing the vision together. Actually, even just think about Alan and Huntsie. They've had this vision to have a family now for a long time. 7+ years, and now Cormac is here. But so are the changes, literally. The nappy changes. But, you know, the nights out that Alan and Huntsie used to enjoy, I can talk about them because they're out looking after our SSK kids. Aren't they awesome? You know, the movies out that they used to have, and the romantic dinners, and the holidays, the annual holidays to Mooloolaba. I mean, those things for them are now all a distant memory. Even a full night's sleep would probably be quite awesome. See, the thing is, you cannot fulfill a vision without some change and without some cost. And I wonder if Alan and Huntsie would go back, or whether Tirongo would want to go back to not having her little precious fella, Tuta Nahia. You wouldn't want to, would you? You wouldn't want to go back, would you, Deli? I mean, you couldn't go back, because, you know, life is, and what God has birthed in our family, in our church family, is just too precious to want to go back. But if we're going to go forward, there's going to be costs around that. And what God was doing with Joshua and the Israelites was much more, we need to realize, was much more than about being whether they were circumcised or not. I don't really think God cared whether they were circumcised or not, really. But what he was really reminding them was the seriousness of his relationship with them. God is serious about that and their relationship to him. And everything hinges on that. Everything hinges on that. Our relationship, the fulfilling the vision, is actually, it's on God's heart, but secondary to our relationship with him, and that he wants to do it together with us. He wants to be excited about working with us. And before they took one step towards Jericho, or the beginning of the fulfillment of the vision, God wanted them to renew the covenant and to rededicate themselves to him. If we look at verse 9, which won't be on the screen, then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." This was after the circumcision had all taken place. Egypt represented the world, the compromise, the captivity, the slavery, their past life, and that was what had been rolled away from them. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day, and Gilgal means, or sounds like, rolled away in the Hebrew. God was saying, the past has been rolled away. This is now a new beginning. It's a new beginning. It's a new day. So how are we going? All right? As we come towards communion this morning, I'm wanting to remind you guys that our covenant, it's not circumcision and it's not the Passover, which we might look at the moment. How's our time going? You're right for a little bit longer, you guys? I could leave this next section out, but I'll just quickly go through it. In verse 10, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. This was straight after the circumcision. The men had healed up a bit by now, and there they were. They were celebrating the Passover together. What did the Passover celebration remind them about? It reminded them of 40 years earlier where it all began. And now there was a whole new generation. It reminded them of where they had come from, Egypt, where they were slaves. It reminded them of the miraculous power of God, didn't it? The Passover. As they killed the Passover lambs and put the blood around the doorposts, and the angel of death passed over and spared their family members because of the blood. It reminded them of the saving grace of God. The Passover reminded them that they were a people that was set apart, that they had a special relationship with the living God. It reminded them that they were a people of purpose, actually. And their purpose was to demonstrate the goodness and the love of God to the world, to the nations, not just to keep it to themselves. It's interesting, before they did anything else in Canaan, God got them to stop and to rededicate themselves to Him. And that's what communion is like for us. It's a time when we come back week after week and we remember what Jesus has done for us. That's what I want us to do this morning as we come to this time of communion, is to remember that we too have a covenant. And it's not circumcision and it's not the Passover. It's the covenant in Jesus' blood, in the covenant of communion. So I wonder if the team could come. You've got a team, Norris, and just start quietly passing around the communion for us. I just invite you to hold it and we'll take it together. Before we go any further with our 2021 vision, let's stop and rededicate ourselves to God afresh. Before we start moving into this new season, whatever that means for us, for Nigel and Joy, they've taken on a new church down the South Island. That's awesome. It's exciting. For many of us, we're from different places and different visions maybe. Before we can start to move into them, I believe we need to rededicate ourselves to God. Let's stop and do that afresh this morning. It's interesting that the very first communion that Jesus had with His disciples at the Last Supper was during the Passover celebration. Now, at the same celebration that they had just before they moved into the Promised Land. And this is what Jesus did when they were having that Last Supper. Luke 22, verse 19, He took some bread and He gave thanks and He broke it and He gave it to them, saying, "This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In verse 20, in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood." From that time onwards, we've not been under the covenant of circumcision or the celebration of Passover, or any of the old covenants. We've got a new one. "And it's in My blood," said Jesus, "which is poured out for you." And if you remember, later that day, in the evening, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was arrested. And the next day, He was tortured and he was whipped and he was beaten and he was on false trial, and then finally his body was, he was dragged to the cross. And his body was broken and his blood was poured out. And the day that that happened, it was the Passover weekend. The same time that they remembered the coming out of Egypt. So this morning, I just want us to be like the Israelites on the threshold of their vision or their dream, rededicating themselves to God. And my hope is that this morning, as we take communion, that we will do that personally between us and God. And we'll be, and I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us about anything that needs to be cut off or cut out of our lives that will prevent us from moving into what God's got for us. So let's just pause and pray for a moment. Just hold the communion for just a little bit longer. Lord God, I just thank you that you do have awesome plans and purposes for your people. But Lord, we just can't move into those casually. We can't move into those just being like we've always been. We're coming into a new season. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just come and you would show us things that you want to realign in our lives, in our thinking, in our speaking, in the way that we live. Lord God, I just pray that as a people we would be in relationship with you first and foremost. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd be speaking right now to each of us. Thank you, Father. Let's just take a bit of time over this. We'll just take a few minutes of just meditating before God and just seeing what he's got to say to us. Just feel free to take the communion as you're ready to. Lord God, I thank you that we can rededicate ourselves to you again. I thank you that we have. As your people, we just want to be in right relationship with you, with nothing in the way, nothing in between that would hinder your best for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way, a new covenant, a new way in your blood, so that we can not only be saved, but have a life of purpose with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Perhaps if the team could just come and, yeah, gather our cups. And you might like to stand and we'll just worship one more time. Is there anyone that would like some prayer today? Just invite you to come and receive from God this morning. If you just want to come and stand before him, if there's something that's on your heart, if you want some prayer, that'd be awesome.